This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Chris, just when I thought that I've seen every possible way the Giants can lose, they gave us a new one last night. There were, seven, eight different plays that if they go the other way, if just one of them goes the other way, we win that game. It's getting late early again, as Yogi Berra used to say, but 0-2 5 years in a row. I came into the season, and then I'll kick it over to you. Came into the season worried about the offensive line and Daniel Jones second. The offensive line, oddly enough, hasn't been terrible. They can improve, but they're not the reason they're losing games. And Daniel Jones, while he played bad week one, last night showed you what he can be. And he got more comfortable as the game went on, and I have some theories to that. You know, when he seems to use his legs, he kind of gets into a rhythm. So, but man, Chris, something I don't think any of us saw coming. This defense is absolutely terrible right now. You know, you put 29 points, you got to win that game. Yeah. 2 weeks in a row, man, they've been out-schemed, out-everything, out-talented, all of it.
Yeah, just think about what you said a little while ago, Jerry. 0-5, 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, that's disgusting football, dude.
Yeah.
You know, that's just – and you know what? I didn't want to concede, but I did last night before we get into the game.
Yeah.
Wilderness years.
Yeah, right. It's
I didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
But, you know, last night after that loss – I thought I was back in the 70s, bro. I was like, wow. Yeah. And this is the way this is what the organization is right now. It's like Wilderness Years Part 2.
Absolutely right. Coming up with new ways to lose, man. They're inventing them.
As far as, like you said, Jerry, you know, what was the biggest concern going into this season? Offensive line, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
You could pick 1A, whatever you want to do, right? So, and after 2 weeks, the biggest concern and the reason why they're 0-2 is because of the defense.
Incredible.
Especially last night.
Yeah.
And you cannot – listen, I don't care. I know they left Slayton with the drop. They left 11 points on the board. Dexter offsides gives them another field goal attempt. I get it. But you score 29 points in a game, dude. You got to win that game. You're facing Taylor Heinicke. I get it. He's no tomato. I know. You're facing one legit receiver, a pretty good back, and a pretty decent tight end, and you get lit up.
Lit up.
I mean, Terry McLaurin, you knew they were going to target him, and he's out there running wild. 11 catches, 100 yards, 14 targets. Yeah. They went man. They went zone. They did cover twos. Nothing worked. And one of the main reasons why.
Well, I was going to say, why is that, Chris?
Well, because James Bradbury and Adoree Jackson are not playing well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you go into a cover three, which is basically an off man.
Yeah.
You know, last year they were covering their guys. Oh, not Adoree. James was this year, he's getting beat. Okay? Adoree Jackson, he's getting beat. Now, don't get me wrong. That touchdown on Adoree was a great throw by Heinicke.
Perfect throw. Perfect.
It was a great throw, you know. But Bradbury gets beat by McLaurin in the end zone. Look bad.
Yep.
Get beat up and down the field. Jerry, he had a two-play, 75-yard drive. That little out and up by McKissick.
Yeah, Crowder and coverage.
Crowder bit on it. Looked bad. Next play, touchdown by Taylor Heinicke to Seals Jones. I mean, they got the ball. They can control the game. The defense is there. They get a stop at the end of the game. They win the game. Everybody goes home and 1-1. Everybody's looking forward to 10 days off, the weekend off. And they let them go down the field.
Everyone knew that we had left too much time on the clock.
Right? This is where I'm going to get to with Judge later, too. But go ahead, Jerry.
No, yeah. Chris, so much went wrong.
Well, I don't want to bounce around on you, so go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm saying we could start wherever you want because so much went wrong. But that was... I mean, everyone could see it coming. It was, guys, get a first down here. Milk the clock a bit. Do something. And
We got to get a first down, Jerry.
Right, right. Gano is a sure thing as there mm-hmm. as any in the league.
That's taxes right now, right?
Right. Yeah. Death and taxes and Graham Gano and converting, right? 35 right. in a row. 55 yeah. he blasted one last night.
Like it was nothing.
Like it was nothing, right?
And it was funny. You look at Gano. He's so, well, then we'll get into the game, but talk about Gano for a second, Jerry. Gano yeah. is so confident right now that when a real good golfer tees off, mm. he'll tee off. He goes like this. He'll tee off. He gives a one quick look, goes down, picks up his tee because he knows he hit it 320 yards dead center in the fairway.
Yeah,
I don't have that feeling, bro. I don't know that feeling, but real good golfers do.
You're working on it.
I'm working on it, but I don't have that feeling right now. I still stare at my ball, see if it's going wild right or wild left, or maybe my four fairways out of the 14 or five fairways out of 14. I'm happy. But the point being is that Gano is so confident right now.
Yeah.
He kicks the ball. He looks down. He looks at his, okay, let's go. Let's go to the sideline.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But you look, I mean, look, I put a tweet up. We'll talk about Judge a little bit now because we're talking about, you know, you talk about get a first down, and you're right. You get a first down here, it's over.
Right.
And I'm still not going to blame it. It was a conservative. Judge talked about eating up timeouts, but they had the timeouts and a two-minute warning.
Right.
And since they needed a field goal, the clock was not a factor, as we all found out.
Right.
So Judge was off there, which leads me to my tweet I put out last night. And you tell me what you think about this, Jerry. The honeymoon is over. Now, let me explain
what I mean. I wrote it last night. Yeah, okay. I know. It's crazy.
And folks, trust me. It wasn't like, you know, I text Jerry, hey, write this. Or Jerry says, hey, Biz, hey, Chris, I'm going to write this. what do you think about this? No. This is the first time me and Jerry are talking about it.
Yep.
So I'm thinking last night, Jerry.
Yeah.
And now let me explain my tweet. This is the New York, New Jersey, Northeast area.
Yeah.
This fan base does not stand for losing.
Right.
Not to mention they've had enough of it the last, since 2011. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what I mean by the honeymoon is over for Judge means that, not that I've given up on Joe, not that I don't think he's the right guy for this job.
Yep.
It's just that it's over because the fans want wins and nobody wants to hear anymore about mental toughness, progression, resiliency. I saw a lot of good things.
I gotta prepare better. I gotta get better. We gotta get better. I gotta look at the tape.
And I get it's coach speak and all that, but Joe Judge now is at the stage where fans don't want to hear that crap anymore to him.
Right.
You could sense it, right, Jerry? Look at Twitter. Talk to your friends, I'm sure. Talk to people. You could be in a grocery store. You got to, you know, if for some reason, if you got a Giant shirt on, you start talking about the Giant. Everybody's like, yo. And you could see now on Twitter and stuff like that, like, hey, Joe, hey, coach, hey, Judge, enough with this crap now. Yeah. Right? You always get that first season, unless the locker room blows up, you always get that first season.
Right.
We're now into the second season. We're now into an 0-2 start, and the honeymoon is over. You know what I mean, Jerry? David Jones is in year 100%. Three.
Yep.
Yeah. You got to start winning some games. Now, this is what annoyed the shit out of me.
Yep.
We hear every week about the mental toughness, and Judge preaches it. Mental toughness. I preach it every day. This team's mentally tough. This team is that. Well, I'll tell you what, Jerry. What's the matter? Mentally tough.
11 penalties, 81 yards, Joe.
Mentally tough teams don't commit 11 penalties.
Right.
Mentally tough teams don't commit two false starts in the plus area. Mentally tough teams don't give up 75-yard drives in two plays and then another one at the end of the game to Taylor Heineke. Mentally tough teams don't jump off sides on a 48-yard or winning field goal attempt.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen, my man.
Right.
So I was kind of fed up with the nonsense.
Yeah.
So Judge comes on today, and I got into it with him. I didn't get into it with him, but I was like, Coach, I got to ask you something. I said, you preach mental toughness, mentally tough. You say this team's mentally tough. You'll hear it, Jeff, if you go to Giants.com later. Yeah. I don't think it was on live, right? The presser? No, it's recorded. Oh, you'll hear it later, Jerry, and you go on. And I said to him, I said, you know, mentally tough teams, you tell us this and you preach it, but, you know, they don't commit false starts in the plus area. They don't jump all sides in a last-second field goal attempt. Yeah. They don't do this and that. Turn up. What I said, late last-second drives. I forgot my exact wording at the time, but I said, but I said to him, I said, you know, coach, I said, is your team mentally tough? That you, you know, are they there mentally where you say they are? I think that was a fair question, right, Jerry?
Yeah, it's
because I'm sick and tired of hearing the bullshit about mentally tough.
I mean, that's a question everybody dreams of asking today, Chris. So good on you. What did he say?
Well, we're not, you know, working towards it. Resiliency. Mm-hmm. Every day we're preparing. Every day, you know, he's not going to say, "Hey, Chris, Dan's mentally tough." You know, as a shitbag. You know, they're not going to say. He's not going to say that.
All right.
But what Joe's got to understand a little bit, and I said this, Jerry, over the years ago with Shermer, that when you're dealing with the New York media and you're dealing with the New York fan base, you got to give them something sometimes.
You do.
You get what I'm saying, Jerry?
Said it before, real quick. The Belichick-Saban thing only works when you're winning. When you're losing and you say the same things every week, he's like a politician up there. I mean, I'm not looking for, this guy sucks, that guy sucks. You got to give more than, I got to see the tape. When someone asked him last night about that play, the ridiculous alignment on goal line after timeout was called, he's like, I got to look at it. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, cool, Joe. Thanks. No comment on it right now?
Yeah. None. You got to be very careful falling into that McAdoo. I got to look at the tape every
game. I called it McAdooian. That's in my article. So guys, we don't review this stuff. I called it McAdooian responses.
Well, it's starting to get to that, you know, because you are watching the game. And I'm not, you know, people aren't asking, so what happened on that power gap run? Who got sealed? That's a type of answer where you say, well, you know what, Chris? I got to see exactly who the hell got sealed off of that. Exactly. But I understand that. I'm not asking that. And all the media guys are not asking. But when a media guy asks about, well, how did you have a false start or a delay a game coming off a timeout, whatever it might be, that's not a look at the tape type answer.
Right.
And I get it. It's tough. It's tough being up there answering after a tough loss. I get it. All I'm saying is the honeymoon is over. These answers week after week after losses, you could start to sense the frustration now of the fan base. And I tell you why, too. So last week, Joe Judge with the challenge flag was like a rookie mistake. That was a bad mistake. Didn't cost in the game, but you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This week now, they had the ball, first and 10, over 2 minutes left, after James's interception.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you what play you would have run for, but go ahead, finish first.
I would have put it in Daniel's hands. But we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah,
okay?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Daniel did have 97 yards rushing, mm-hmm. 95 yards rushing, 95. Right?
Yeah, 95 yards.
This blowhard, me, after last week said, why are we not doing zone reads? Well, how did the zone reads work out yesterday, Jerry?
Hey, pretty damn well.
Okay. So, you know, they got the first and 10 after James's very good pick. And they got the kill. They have the kill shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they went conservative, and they ran the ball twice up the middle, didn't execute, and then they tried that slant, right, with Shep.
And that's – Chris, funny thing is, I think that's more dangerous, but okay.
A little behind Shep, could have caught it. And I think he would have been short of the sticks.
Would have been 2 yards short of a first down.
Right, that's right.
Thank you. In the middle of the field, and he threw that pass, and I thought, that's not even safe. And it's also – it's not safe, and it's stupid.
Right. So Judge explained about – oh, we wanted them to eat the timeouts, but here's the mistake, in my opinion. Big time. They had the timeouts. So, okay, Joe, so they ate them, and they had a two-minute, and they only needed a field goal. Now, if they needed a touchdown, Jerry, I would get that philosophy, because now they got to go 75 yards in a minute 50 with no timeouts.
Right.
I'd be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They needed
a really good point.
Field goal, dude.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different ball game when you need a field goal, Jerry. That clock is not a factor now.
Right.
If it was under 2 minutes and they had no timeout and it said he would have burned up, say they had one timeout left, it's under 2 minutes, you could run up 40 seconds. And now they have 40 seconds to work with to get a field goal. I get it.
Right.
Dude, they had 2 minutes.
Yes, they did.
To work with.
Right.
Clock is not a factor. I don't care. I don't give a flying crap. You don't have any timeouts. Yeah. It's not a factor.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Mistake, Jerry. That's a mistake.
And that's, and so everybody knows, that's Judge's call to tell Garrett, I want to go conservative here. We're playing for three, right?
Well, Jerry, it's Judge's job when he hears the play call and or before the play call sequence commences to tell Garrett, Jason, don't be conservative. Jason, I want this first down. Exactly. All you got to do is tell a coordinator like Belichick did with McDaniels 9 million effing times.
Right.
He would be like, get me the first down. I want the first down, which means don't just give it to Saquon up the middle, you know, because that means that you're telling now the coordinator, hey, run the regular offense.
Right, right.
Get me this first down.
Yep.
Their philosophy, at least listening to Judge last night and today, he repeated the same damn thing, okay, was, okay, we'll try to execute, get the first down, but we're not going to go anywhere near our off, okay, because, you know, we're going to be kind of conservative. We want them to eat the timeouts, and we'll put it in our defense's hands. Now, what would possess you on the sideline to say to yourself, well, I'm pretty confident in his defense. I'll put it in their hands.
I know. Oh, man.
Did Carl Banks come out of the booth and suit up last night? Did he bring Lawrence with him? Am I missing something? Did Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan suit up last night? There's something I don't know about?
Oh, man.
The point being, it was a coaching mistake.
Yeah.
Okay? So Garrett played a concert. You got to get on the same page, bro. So it makes me believe Garrett had to say to Joe, what are we doing here? You want to play this safe? Yeah, play it safe. And that's what Judge said.
My play would have been from the start, as soon as they got the ball, you have a $72 million receiver who's fiery. I don't care about the sideline thing. It's not a big deal.
I can give a
big
flying crap less.
Yep. Right. And you saw, I saw single coverage at the top. Now, maybe a safety was, I couldn't see him, but I thought this is the perfect scenario for a fade route. You put it in a spot where only Galladay can catch it. If you throw it out of bounds, I get it. That's fine. But you go for the kill shot there. So whether you wanted to have Jones run an RPO or you wanted to do something like that, you had to go for the kill shot because you had to know that, again, like you said, even if they ran it three times, you still had the 2-minute warning, right? So they had 2 minutes to go, I don't know, 40 yards to get a field goal and win the game. So to me, it was, this is the time to make Kenny Galladay a giant. And you give him a shot. It was maddening because you knew it. He said they're going to play it safe here and we're going to be screwed. And he ran up the middle twice with Saquon. The Washington football team knew it. And then he threw the pass over the middle, which I thought, man, that's not even safe. And it's short of a first down.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's that.
Yeah. Like you just said, Jerry. That might have been a time to let Kenny do his thing, Galladay.
Right.
You play that safe back shoulder. Try to get that first down or the six that ends it.
Right.
Or me personally, Jay, if you made me the coordinator and say, Chris, what you have done last night, I would have did a zone read with Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you know Washington had to be thinking they're going to run it up. They're going to run it here, right?
Right. Yep.
And if Daniel tucked it in like he did like four times last night, if he would have tucked it in, he might have had an open. Even if he slides down, gets 8 yards, Jerry, you get two more plays for 2 yards, something like that, right?
Right.
Game is over.
Yep.
You know? Didn't happen, but still, they kick off and the defense doesn't get the stop. They let him go down the field and, you know, and we know what happens at the end with Dex and all that. So the defense, Jerry, I guess let's get into the defense. Graham was trying everything last night. Finally went into basically a cover two look. Here's the thing, and this was happening in the end of last season a little bit too. They're finding spots in those zones.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're finding windows, and they're completing them.
Yeah.
Last year, Graham loves to show the single high look, and then he goes into a cover two post-snap. No, it is. These teams see this now. They've studied a whole 16 games on film.
Right.
It's not fooling anybody anymore, dude.
I got a very basic question for you, too, and it was pointed out last night. In this soft zone they're playing, Chris, are the corners too far off the receivers as well? Or am I making too much of that? Is that oversimplifying the whole thing?
I mean, they're playing like an off man. At times, it looks like they're giving them a little too much room.
Totally, right?
You know? A lot of it is they're not cover two. They're finding the windows, the receivers. They're prepared for it, Jerry. You could tell. You could see Terry McLaurin was prepared for it last night. He knew where the windows were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, could it be tighter on some of these cover twos? Yeah, I'm sure it should. It could be. I'm sure it could be. I really like to see that again. He's freaking all 22s down. But listen, they're just not executing. Now, when they go into man, you're getting beat.
Yeah.
Out and out, getting beat. Yeah. When they go into cover three, which is just an off man.
Yep.
Single high, that's all it is. You're getting beat.
Yep.
You know, linebackers are getting beat.
Linebackers are getting beat, Chris. And I want to touch. I want to hit something else, too. There's zero pass rush.
Well, that we're going to get into next.
Okay, good. Perfect segue because we have one pass rusher, one, and he's a rookie.
Here's the deadly combination is that when you're not covered on the back end and you're not getting a pass rush up front, you give up 400 yards of offense.
There it is.
And a guy like Taylor Heinicke throws for 300 yards. That's what happens to you, brother.
Kevin Gleason, who's a contributor, an awesome writer, called the great Taylor Heinicke, said he looked like Joe Montana in his column. Anyway.
So no pass rush last night, Jerry. Even Aziz's sack was a coverage sack. Okay. They only had two hits.
Yeah, it was a coverage sack, but you could see the explosion with him. And like,
oh, no, I'm not saying that.
I've had 75 phone calls this morning with Giant fan buddies of mine. And, you know, it's how much longer do we have to wait for O'Shane Zimenez to do something? I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean,
probably going
to
be waiting a lot longer.
Right. So just play the kid. I mean, I'm at the point
where I did last night. They started. Aziz started last night.
Right. Yeah. And I saw Zimenez in a lot. I mean, I don't know the snap count. But I'm just like, okay, this kid's now, his time's now. Let's go. So
look, Aziz is the only one showing a little life out there in the pass rush, right?
Yep. Yep.
Leonard's got some hurries, but no sacks, you know, no hits yet. I don't think he even has a hit. He's had a bunch of hurries in the first two games. Yeah. Speaking of Leonard Williams, you know, I'm looking at it last night. I'm looking, and if there's one guy that's really affected by the loss of Dalvin Tomlinson,
yeah,
it's Leo Williams right now.
Yeah.
Because Dalvin did so much up front, took on so many doubles. You know,
did you think they'd miss him that much?
Jerry, I did not think they would miss him as much as they do right now in the first two games. Now,
that
also means, Jerry, that Dexter Lawrence, 17th overall pick.
Oh, here we go. Thank
you. Is not playing like a 17th overall pick.
So penalty aside, Chris.
No, forget I about that. Yeah.
I know it's not about tackles when you're defensive tackle and especially in a 3-4 with a lot of what they play. But one tackle over two games, and I don't notice him. I don't even see him on the field.
Yeah.
Like you said, 17th overall pick. When they made that pick, this is a Monday morning quarterbacking. They made that pick. Chris texted me, what the hell was this? Like, I don't know. Dexter Lawrence. So look, we can revisit that a million times, but this is why we're afraid. Like, we're expecting these guys to take a step forward, and Dexter Lawrence has disappeared. Disappeared, dude. Aside from that penalty, he has completely disappeared. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. You're right. I mean, you know, Dalvin used to get doubled a lot, but he used to get his 3, 4, 5 tackles a game, too. And pressures and a couple of sacks to chip in. Dex is not doing that right now, brother.
No.
You know, he's got to step up. Dalvin's not there. Dalvin was a fine player. He's not there anymore. And Dexter, so far, after two games, has not stepped up.
Then he can sleep well, so.
He sleeps good, though. Yeah.
Yeah, saw that.
But what Jerry's referring to, everybody, is that somebody asked Dexter today on the press of it. Did you sleep well last night after the tough loss? And Dexter said, oh, yeah, I slept really good. He goes, I like to sleep.
Great. He's the only person in the Giants world that slept last night. So anyway.
So that didn't come across too good.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, obviously, Dexter didn't mean it like, you know, like the way it came across, but fans don't want to hear that. That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
they don't want to hear their players are sleeping really good when you just committed on all sides and cost the team a game.
When I was getting phone calls till 3 a.m. about that game. So, yeah, there you go, Dex.
Right.
Sorry.
So he's got to step it up. It's two games in. Not doing it so far. Obviously, the strength of the team, which everybody thought going into the season, Adoree Jackson, Bradbury, the safety, everybody. You know, Pepys is getting beat continuously, too, in coverage, you know.
I know. He really is, Chris.
Right now, they're the weakness of this team. Who would have thought that after two games? But right now, they're the weakness.
And I can't help it, but because we lose so many ways and you have to revisit everything over the last 5 to 10 years of what were the decisions we've made. You know, trading OBJ, I was all for it, right? And it was, okay, we got a first, a third, and Peppers. And now it the first third and Peppers turned into Peppers, Lawrence, and O'Shane Zimenez. Not that OBJ is playing right now, but based on what his value was when you traded him, I mean, the return on investment, holy cow, man. Wow. Wow, it looks bad right now, dude. It really does.
So yeah, and I don't like the Monday morning quarterback.
I don't either. I'm sorry.
No. What I'm getting at, I hate the Monday morning quarterback, but how much better would Montez Sweat look in a blue uniform?
That's the No. It's only Monday morning quarterbacking when you don't say it when it happens. We said that, right?
Yeah, we did say
it. It was 17th pick. We're like, we want Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat. Texting. Montez Sweat right now.
Yeah, no, we did.
Okay, cool. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, look, we don't Monday morning quarterback. We did want Sweat. And
we said at 6 we'd be okay with Montez Sweat.
Not that ship 17. Tail, nothing you could do, but hey, the facts are the facts. How much better would Sweat look in a giant uniform than Dexter Lawrence right now?
Much. Right? Yep.
He's an edge guy. But Dave wanted another hog molly, as he likes to say.
Yeah, Got me a hog molly, he said.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe Dave, you know, the way this season is going, when Dave gets launched out of Giantsville, maybe he could buy a boat up and whoever the hell he decides to settle and put on a boat, hog molly.
Cape Cod.
You know.
There it is.
Because the way this season is going right now, you know, that's where Dave is going to be, launched to Cape Cod, wherever the hell he wants to retire. So,
I got another question for you, Chris, kind of on that subject of a draft pick that Dave Gettleman made. And I'm sure it was with Judge. I don't know the whole inside. I don't know if you know, how much the decision went into this, but let's revisit it now. Ron Gettleman, and the third pick in that first round in 19, was DeAndre Baker. He had character issues. Well, we trade down in this draft. I'm glad we got that first round pick from Chicago next year. I love that we have two first rounders. And we took a guy that really surprised the hell out of the league. No one else had him really in the first round, I don't think. But, you know, that's why we have, scouts and analysts, right? So we took Kadarius Toney. Right now, Chris, he's the fourth wide receiver. Like you said, played 19, or like you tweeted, he's played 19.
Jerry, he's the fourth. He's the fifth. CJ Board got more snaps over him.
Fine. Better yet. Better yet, Chris. Proving my point. So he's the fifth wide receiver. We took him at 20 when we had other needs, but, you know, those needs are weird because if we took the offensive line's working out. Anyway, we could have taken Quiddy Pay. There's a number of guys we could have taken that could have helped us. But you take this kid, 19 snaps last night, 2 last week. Now he's on Instagram, during or after the game or whatever.
Yeah.
How scared of you are you right now of this this situation exploding in Giantsville?
I mean, you know, he got off to the wrong foot and literally.
Yeah.
In camp, OTAs. COVID knocked him out for a while. You know, it hasn't been a smooth start for Kadarius. He's back basically healthy now, I get the frustration, but dude, you got 5 seconds in this league. Shut up. Shut up.
Right.
Now, Galladay's over on the sideline. He's yelling at Daniel. These things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen Tom Brady and Edelman yelling at each other.
I didn't think anything when Galladay yelled, dude.
Right? I know some people in the media try to make something out of it.
Right.
I don't give a flying crap of guys yelling at the sideline. It's emotional times on the sidelines. It gets very emotional.
Sure.
Okay. And Kenny Galladay is a veteran in this league, and he wants the ball. I'm sure he's over there yelling, you paid me, you know, this money, throw me the damn ball and all that.
Right.
Obviously, that's what it was about. He was only, you know, he only had 3 catches. He's targeted 7 times. He obviously, that's what receivers do. They want the ball more. And I get it. Yeah. And I have no problem with Kenny doing it. I'm sure him and Daniel will find later on, relax. Yeah. These things happen, right? Yeah. But I do have a problem with some rookie.
Hang on, Chris. Real quick, guys. We're about halfway in. I just want to give a shout out to manscaped.com and a word from our sponsor. Hang on 1 second. We'll be right back. Attention Giant Insider podcast listeners and buffoons all the way from Australia to the swamps of Jersey. Guys, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have the solution for you with their 4th generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick those pubes to Philly, Washington, or Dallas. Just get them the hell out of East Rutherford with the Performance Package 4.0. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for Giant Sundays by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20, FANSIDED20. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which I even use on my bald head, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your gear. This fourth generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, can engage a travel lock, and it is even waterproof. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 4000K LED spotlight that you can turn on and off when needed for a more precise shave throughout your Cover 2 defense. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Are you kidding me? This nose and ear and hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those oh-so-delicate places. Don't forget to use the Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and their Crop Reviver to help your special teams be on their A-game. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com for a clean Cover 3. Your balls will thank you. And we're back. Go ahead, Chris, about Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a problem with a rookie who has done nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, and he's over there on the sidelines. Judge has got to talk to him. Then he's storming off by himself on the side with his arms folded. He's pissed off. He's pissing and moaning. And then after the game, puts on something on Instagram about, you know, whatever the hell he put on Instagram. I don't know what the hell he's even talking about, but it wasn't good. All right. Obviously showing his frustration.
What was your tweet? Oh, this should go over well. Or something like that.
Yeah. And I tweeted like that. Oh, this is going to go over great. So Hey, bud, I get your little, your number one pick and you say, you know, you think you can really help this team and God bless you. I get it.
Yeah.
But pissing and moaning, going on Instagram after the game. Are you kidding me? Who the hell are you?
Yeah.
Who the hell are you? Like, just shut up. You have done nothing. You got 5 seconds in this league. Not a good look, Jerry.
Yep.
Not a good look. It's not the kid's fault he got drafted by the Giants. That he, you know, he comes over here and we have a legit slot receiver and the Giants take another one. Okay? Right. Well, it's not his fault. He gets and he's in this situation. I get it. Frustration. Not many snaps. Shep is off to a great start. You know, he's kind of, you know, we could probably use about 15 other guys instead of Toney, but even after he signs it, a difference maker receiver, he decides to draft one too, Dave. Okay? Okay. Whatever. Now he's having a problem getting in this rotation.
Yeah.
And he's pissed off. The problem I have with Kadarius is like, dude, you're a rookie. This is your second NFL game. You haven't done a damn thing in this league. You got about 5 minutes in this league. Shut up.
Yeah.
Don't go on Instagram putting free me or whatever bullshit he was putting on.
He said this was lame. This is lame.
This is lame? Is that what does that mean? He's lame. He got 19 snaps. I don't know. Whatever.
Yep.
Well, shut your mouth, dude. Stop going on Instagram. You know, not for nothing. It'd be interesting to see how Judge handles this, Jerry, because we all know what happened with Golden Tate last year. When he was animated on the field and right?
Yeah.
He sat him down a game.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was an established Super Bowl winning champion and a fighting Irish kid, Golden Tate. This is some kid from Florida who, you know, he hasn't done a damn thing. So it's going to be interesting to see how Judge handles this. It really is.
It is. It's such a bad look. And like you said it very well. It's not his fault he was drafted by the Giants. That's like our problem. But it just goes to show you, like, man, there were other needs. Again, the trade down, get another pick, great. But at 20, you know, if this was going to be
at 13.
No, right. But trading down to 20.
Where were we? 11.
But trading down to 20.
No, what I'm saying is that we had the 11th pick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yes, we did.
I mean...
Right.
I get
a lot of guys there.
I get a lot of guys there. I get the trade down. You got another number one, but we had the 11th pick.
Right. But I'm saying even at 20, you still had a number of guys.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That you could have taken, and you took this kid who's now, like you said, your fifth wide receiver. Like, holy cow, this is going ugly. It's distractions without production, which is really it's a unique thing to have.
Distractions
that.
Without production. Yeah. I love that. I love it. Why the hell did I not think of that last night? That's a good one, Jerry.
Chris, the way you tweet and the way I wrote, it looks like it's plagiarism.
Jerry, I love that you said that. It's distractions without the production. You know, in this league, a lot of guys were distractions. Terrell Owens, right? We could name a ton of them, right, Jerry?
Right.
But they had the production.
Right, so you dealt with it.
You dealt with it. But and I'm not saying it's Tony's fault. He's not even out there.
Right.
You know, I just put it out after the game. I think it was after the game. You know, I put 19 snaps for Tony, and he is the number one pick. He is your number one pick. And ridiculous. You look over the weekend, and I get it's different systems, and it's different wide receiving rotations and all that. But you look what, you know, Jamar Chase did last week.
Devontae Smith.
Who am I missing, Jerry? Oh, Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
You know, and who's the other? And Jalen Waddle had a touchdown too, bro.
Right.
Jalen Waddle had a touchdown too.
Yeah. Right.
What I'm saying is that you look at some of these other kids, and then we got a kid over here that they, you know, he's got 19 snaps, and now he's put it on Instagram, and he's frustrated, he's pissed off, and I get it being I get being pissed off and frustrated. You think you could make a big difference out there? Maybe you could, but you can't be going on Instagram 2 games into your career talking about this is lame.
It's so bad. It's not a good look, dude.
You can't be on the sideline like this, you know, with your arms folded and judges, you know, you know. So, hey, Jerry, just want to get to something else quick.
We have time.
All right. Look, very sad first quarter. My boy Nick Gates, who I interviewed for the paper once. I got to know Nick a little bit before the COVID. Really good fuck. Really good dude. Just devastating last night.
Yeah.
It looks like a fracture that he's going to have surgery. He might have already had a judge. Wasn't even 100% sure, but he's going to have surgery today.
Yeah.
And hopefully, Jerry, you know, he comes back 100% for next season. You know, he's a great story, Nick. He's a great dude. He's a funny freaking dude.
Well, even last night, supposedly he like put on Instagram or was in a conversation with somebody where he said, dude, they snapped my leg. And he kind of looked like, LOL. Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's just a tough mother. He lives for this crap. But just a great story. Undrafted free agent, as we all know, takes over the center position last year, starts off slow, finishes really strong for the Giants. And, of course, this year being named captain, you know, which is no small feat, Jerry. They just don't name, you know, some banana off the street captain. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's no small feat, you know, and then Nick goes down and I got to say this, dude. People, when you tweet, please try to put a little thought process in before you actually hit send.
Are you going to say because he moved
people
to guard?
People blaming Joe Judge.
Or okay, because he moved to guard. That's why his knee snapped. His leg
Nick
snapped.
Gates breaking his leg because he moved over to guard.
Right.
I don't know if this sport is new to some people. And maybe they're just taking it up this year and they decide I'm going to vent on Twitter. But it's not the first time a center's moved over to guard to help a team or whatever injury situation might be, you know. So it's not Joe Judge's fault why Nick Gates broke his leg. I saw some of those tweets last night. I got to be honest with you, I just shaved my head like, what the hell is going on in this world? Are you kidding me? Is this sport – did you just come from watching, you know, Serena Williams play tennis and now you decided to take up football 5 minutes ago? You know, I mean, it's idiotic. You know, it's not Joe Judge's fault why Nick Gates broke his leg.
And Gates is like this generation's Soibert to me. Like he's versatile and then he gets a big injury and he's kind of like a
undrafted,
almost like a crowd favorite, right? Like if you get a lineman's jersey, you're getting Nick Gates right now. It was tough to see. I did not rewind it. Thank God I didn't see it. I can't watch that stuff. I still can't watch Theismann's leg break. Good on the NFL Network not showing it too.
Like, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, some networks they'll show it over and over. Like, why?
Come on, guys, enough.
I know we don't need to see a guy's leg snapped. No. You know, so.
But he was like, you never see a guy leave on the cart like smiling. Like, wow, what a man. What's he to root for?
Jerry, you know, being around Nick Gates for the last few years, it doesn't surprise you he was on the cart going like this, giving a thumb, smiling. That's the type of dude he is.
Yeah,
he's a tough dude. So we wish Nick well, and prayers up for that dude, man, because, you know, he's a great story. And you know what, Jerry, let's finish this podcast with some positives.
Wait, can I go one more negative?
Yeah.
Matt Parrott didn't play at all, right?
He did not play his snap.
Cool. He was a third round pick last year. Okay. We can go to the next thing.
He's also the guy that was penciled in to play right tackle.
Right. Thank God for Solder. Okay.
Dave and Joe told us that there's no really need to worry about the offensive line. Remember?
Right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
that's it.
So let's talk about some positive, Jerry, as we wrap this up. Okay. Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
If he can only now, he needs to continue this against another team besides Washington. Right.
Very good. Very good job by you in the column this week.
Oh, thank you. Jerry, you know, so let's see if he can continue his process. He played a great game last night. Come on. Daniel was getting early.
And what was great about it was all of his skills were on display without the staring down receivers, without the carelessness with the ball. You see why you can get excited about this kid. He was looking around he was looking receivers off last night, and he was just comfortable in the pocket. And he seems like the kind of kid that, Chris, your point about the RPOs, or the zone read, sorry. Your point about that is a great one because he seems like the kind of kid who needs to run to get into a rhythm.
Yeah. He seems to kind of get in a float. He does a couple of zone reads early in the game, right?
Yep. He's not a pure Eli Manning pocket passer. Right. He needs to run a little bit.
And I credit Jason Garrett because he didn't do it in the first game. He did it in the second game, right, Jerry?
Right.
And I also credit Garrett and Judge because we all know about his fumbling issues, but they didn't decide, oh, we're never going to do this now because he might fumble.
Right.
They continue because it's part of his arsenal. He has to do it.
Yes.
And now that Saquon's – because, Jerry, Saquon makes the whole zone read go, bro.
Right.
Because, you know, Saquon had that 40-yard run, whatever it was. That's all you need. Right. And the rest of the game, it's inside back is Saquon. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you could pull off some zone reads, and Daniel did it. I mean, he had a touchdown and was brought back. To me, a very questionable hole.
That was a terrible call.
Brought back – you know, it's part of his also. It has to be part of the game plan.
Right.
You know, Jerry?
Yeah.
For Daniel, because it's effective. It's very effective for Daniel. Now, other things he did. Look, he got hit early in the game, especially the first half. I thought Jonathan Downs, that should have been a flag. He picked him up and winged him to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden it wasn't a flag. Oh, yeah. Okay, whatever. They didn't call it. He got belted a few times after the throw, and he hung in there, dude.
Yeah,
he hung in there, and he was making throws. Now, after Nick got hurt, Brendison comes in, who's a mediocre at best guard. He comes in, the offense, Billy Price, mediocre at best
center. I thought Price did okay, though.
Yeah, he was, you know, he did all right. They settled down, Jerry.
Yeah.
They settled down. Now, what was one of the keys? That Andrew Thomas played a pretty good game again at left tackle.
Yeah, he did.
Nate Solder played a real good game at right tackle.
I know, he did.
Okay, I mean, those guys, you know, you got Sweat, you got Young.
And real quick, Will Hernandez is invisible right now, which is a great thing, right?
Will Hernandez
quietly two good games, no?
Pretty good games. Not bad. Not bad. You know, some things, well, he got clipped, but not bad. It's not like you look at him and go, holy crap, right?
Right.
Well, when they settled down as the game went along and they started giving Daniel more and more time, and Daniel was picking him apart. I mean,
he was getting comfortable.
He was throwing the ball well. You know, I mean, that play with Slayton was a breakdown by the Washington secondary. Slayton was 40 yards open. And look, that ball's got to be caught. Was it the most perfect throw right here? No, but it's right here.
I thought it was an easier catch than Ingram's. I watched it about 10 times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Oh, I agree, dude. It was an easier catch than Ingram's last year.
Yep.
He's got to catch that ball. Dude.
Slayton's comment was, I should have dove for it. You should have dove for a ball that you dropped? No. Dove for it. Catch it.
That's three drops by Darius in two games already.
Yeah.
Okay. He had a touchdown last night.
No, I know.
You know, he's doing some good things, but he's also dropping. And that ball's got to be caught. That's the game. Oh, literally, Jerry, that's the game right there.
Well, that was the ominous, oh, no, here we go again play. Yep.
So, you know, so Dan, so some more positives. Like we said, Andrew Thomas.
Yes.
Nate Solder. I thought even Brendison and Price settled down a bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sterling Shepard is on a freaking mission this year.
Yeah.
Why'd
they get away from him for a little while last night, too? I don't want to pick on everything. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Jerry, look, he was targeted. He had 9 catches.
I know. He's targeted 10 times. He caught 9.
And Jerry, you know, defenses start rolling over. You can't, you can't just sit back. Oh, I'm going to throw to him 15 straight times. That's not the way it works, you know? The flow of the game, you know, you're doing different things. But Jerry, the offense wasn't the problem, bro.
Yeah, you're right. I know.
You know?
Yep.
Galladay has some catches, you know, that, But so positives there. Daniel, obviously, Shep, offensive line settled down. Andrew Thomas again. Nate Solder, who was really not good the first week, much better last night, you know?
I thought the tight end play was okay,
too. And look, Saquon, he's still a little tentative. He's still a little hesitant at times, you could tell. He's still not 100% himself, but he did play 53 or 58 snaps last night.
Yeah.
He played a boatload last night, much more than I thought he was going to play, Jerry.
Yeah, me too.
But he had 16 touches, I believe. I think I got that right. 16 touches. He had 11 last week. He's going to get 20-plus against Atlanta. So he's slowly getting back to 100%, Jerry, which is good because he's coming out of these games, no knee problems, swollenness, nothing like that, dude. You know, so that's a good sign. You see the difference, you know, he makes when he's in there, dude. You have to account for Saquon.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the Eli Penny. Two nice fourth down. I told you, watch out for Eli. He's going to get the ball a little bit more.
Yep.
Two fourth down conversions and all that. Special teams. Hey, that Keon Croson, dude. You see, Michael Thomas, the old Giant. I don't know if we told the story, but Michael Thomas, the former Giant, told me personally. I think we talked about this, right? That, hey, this kid will be your best special teamer. Right, Jerry?
Right.
Oh, he's right. Yeah. He's right. Keon Croson has been the best special teamer in the first two games. You see, man, he's flying out there, you know, on a special team.
Yep.
So, obviously, Graham Gano is like Mr. Automatic. Yep. That was a great pickup by Dave. You know, you got to give Dave credit when credit is due.
Yeah.
It was a great signing by Dave last year. Dixon only punted a few times. Peppers, few punt returns, not much. And obviously, the kickoff returns, you're lucky you even get a kickoff return these days, right, Jerry? Yeah. Unless you take it out 7 yards, and then when he come out 7 yards, we go crazy.
We do.
So, any positives on defense? I was trying to think. I thought Blake was.
I like Ojulari. I mean, I know there were coverage over Ojulari. I know there were coverage. I know both were coverage sacks, but he's active.
Doesn't matter. I get it, Jay, but he still got there.
Yeah, right.
And he had some pressures too last night. Took a couple pressures. That's not coverage bullshit. He had some pressures.
Right.
Right. I thought Lorenzo Carter was a little more active last night. Blake, you know, Crowder, not too, you know, he got beat there. And obviously the secondary really can't
find expect more out of Carter by now. I get very down on Carter. That's all.
Coaching, we talked about it. Some mistakes we feel Judge made. The mental toughness, you can't have 11 penalties, can't have that thing at the end.
Yeah.
That's got to get cleaned up. You know, look, you could dump on Jason Garrett all you want, but Jason Garrett's offense was not the problem last night.
He's done this before where he's done seemingly had horrible game plans. Then he comes back a week later. You're like, where the hell was this? Like, where'd this come from? He did it last year. So, same thing.
Yeah. So
he did go a little horizontal a bit last night a couple times where it's like, oh, come on, Jason. Don't do the end around again on first down. You're moving the ball.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Matter of fact, I put on Twitter – you know, stay north-south, will you?
Right. Come on.
It's not there. It's not. It's tough to do in these defenses today. I get it. You know, I get it. But it's just not there for the Giants right now, right? It's just not there.
No, it's not.
And it's tough to do on these defenses. These defenses are so quick today, man. And these linebackers, it's just tough to do, man. These ends. But if it's not there, it's not there. Maybe you should scrap that. You know what I mean, Jerry? Let's scrap that for a few games and maybe revisit it down the road. But it's not there, Jerry. I thought the North South game, the running game was there.
Yeah.
You know, why, you know, Jason gets cute there because, you know, it's not there, dude. You know,
right.
So.
Right. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to Chase Young for going over to Nick Gates, too. I thought that was a real classy move. Yeah. A couple of Washington football players did it. But when Chase Young did it, I think it means more. He's like your captain. He's your rising star. For him to walk over and hit Gates, you know, that's pretty classy. So
yeah, he's the leader of that team, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw last year in the playoffs. So that dude is like the fiery leader. He's just a rookie last year. This year, obviously, second year man. He's like the leader of that team.
Yeah.
They did a good job in him last night, Jerry.
They did.
No sacks. I think three tackles, two tackles. You know,
yeah.
They did a good job on him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was surprising. Surprising how well the line played overall.
You know, Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen, they were the ones that were blowing up the Giants at the beginning of the game.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Allen was having his way in the beginning of the first half.
Yep.
And Payne, so.
Oh, man. It's exhausting. Anything else we want to talk about last night? I mean, exhausting, in a, you know, because we lost, but it's kind of therapy talking about it.
Before
we get to picks.
Yeah, something else. That's it.
I think we touched everything.
They'll play in 10 days against a mediocre Atlanta team. Two mediocre teams right now going at it. We'll see if they get their first win.
Good job, man.
Before they go to New Orleans and Dallas.
And then the Rams, right? Oof.
And then Rams home. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Let's do picks. You're up two. You were up three till last night. I gained one on you. Because I had.
You had Washington last night?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Because I can't take the Giants until they win. 1 o'clock Sunday, Raiders at Steelers.
I'm going to go with the Raiders with an upset.
I'll go Steelers at home just to try and catch up. 49ers. What's that?
It's week two, guy.
I know. 49ers at Eagles.
Philly.
Down to the Niners. But I think you're right. Because I'm going to be rooting for the Niners.
How are you going with the?
Because I'm rooting for them. Really, it's too close. It's going to be close, and I'm just going to. I'm going with the Niners. Texans at Browns, 1 o'clock.
Cleveland.
Come on, yeah, Cleveland. Broncos at Jags.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy ball game. Teddy ball game.
No patch room.
Saints at Panthers. Good game.
Not a bad game. I'm going to stick with Jameis until he shows that he starts throwing to the wrong jersey again. I'm going to go with the Saints.
I agree. Saints. Rams at Colts, still 1 o'clock.
I like this Rams team, Jerry.
Me too.
I like this Matthew Stafford in this system. I'm going to go with the Rams, dude.
That was the first play of the game, right? That bomb. That was the first play, right?
Last week?
This touchdown was like the first play of the game last week, right?
Stafford's? Yeah, it was one of them. Yeah.
It's like right away. Launches it.
Yep.
1 o'clock, Bills at Dolphins. Bills are going to be pissed. Yeah. Bills. Still 1 o'clock. Patriots at Jets.
Ooh. Patriots.
Yeah. It'll be close. Jets will keep it close, but Patriots. Bengals at Bears. I'm going Bengals because I'm rooting for them, but I also think they'll win. So, guys, we got to root against the Bears the rest of the year. So.
Yeah. You know what? I know it was 34-14, but stats-wise, it really, you know, I'm going to go with the Bears. Excuse me. I'm going to go with the Bears beat at home.
Okay. All right, dude. 4 o'clock games. Falcons at Buccaneers. We'll both go Buccaneers there, right?
No, I want to let. Yeah.
Nice. Matty Ice. Vikings at Cardinals.
Falcons will be looking ahead to the Giant game. Yeah. Vikings at Cardinals. Oh, I like this Arizona team. I liked them last year. They kind of let me down. I'm going to go with them this year a lot. Arizona.
Yeah, Vikings let me down week one against the Bengals. You had the Bengals. I'm going Cardinals this week. Titans at Seahawks.
This would be a tough one. Titans have rebounded, but I like the Seattle team again.
Yeah, me too. Seattle at home. Seattle at home. Here's a good game, dude. Cowboys at Chargers. I'm going Chargers.
Oh, I'm going Chargers too, brother. I'm with you. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence, he's out for like a couple of months. That's huge, man.
Yeah, Cowboys are having some injury issues, huh?
Woof, a lot of injuries there. Yep.
All right, Sunday night. Good game. Chiefs at Ravens.
Yeah. I'll go with Mahomes and the Chiefs. The Ravens are getting decimated with injuries too, man. I like the Chiefs.
Same. Monday night, Lions at Packers.
Oh, please. It'll be like, you know, watch this after week one type game for the Packers.
Yeah, right.
Nice. There'll be no, you know, the kneecaps won't be hit a bit or anything like that in Green Bay and Lambeau. So.
Nice. All right, buddy. Hang in there, man. Nice job on Twitter last night, too. Nice job today. It's reassuring when you read something and you're like, okay, I was thinking that as well. Because sometimes you think you're going off the deep end a bit, and then it's like, oh, it's nice. It's nice to see somebody else say it, too. So, but great job with the updates, man, as always.
Oh, thank you.
All right, guys. We print Sunday to order a subscription to The Giant Insider. Go to www.thegiantinsider.com or go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, everybody, 10 more days to the next game. We'll probably drop one podcast next week, and maybe that's the one we'll do call-ins. Chris and I will talk about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. I forgot about the call-ins.
But expect something midweek, like Wednesday. We'll do call-ins, and then maybe we'll...
these call-ins are going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I feel like saying, guys, leave your comments to a minute. We got to get to a lot of people. But it should be fun. All right, guys, remember, Sundays are Giant days. Hang in there. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.